Our first lesson, a portion of which will serve as our sermon text this morning, is from Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets at many times and in many ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of the divine nature. He sustains all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Son became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." And again, when he brought his firstborn into the world, he said, "Let all God's angels worship him." Also he says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all become old like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, and they will be changed like a garment. But you are the same, and your years will never end." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. The word of God for our meditation this morning on this Christmas day are those opening lines from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1. We read just the first few words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This is God's word. We pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when God chooses to speak, his voice is loud. In the beginning, God spoke, and all creation came into being by the power of God's word. Our first parents fell into sin, and God spoke again, driving down Satan with an everlasting curse, and lifting up sinners with a gracious promise of everlasting life. Whether by trumpet blasts of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, or by a gentle whisper of the gospel to Elijah at Mount Horeb, when God speaks, his voice is loud. We cannot name the one who wrote down this letter to the Hebrews, but we know God is speaking in these inspired words. In the past, he says, God spoke to our forefathers at many times and in various ways. And we know Scripture teaches us this is true. God spoke to priests and prophets, to patriarchs and poets, and even, on occasion, to ordinary people like Adam and Eve, like Joseph and Mary. God spoke in dreams and in visions, by the voices of angels and by the unseen power of the Holy Spirit. But now, something different. Now, something new. Now, God speaks as he had not spoken before. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Just try to wrap your heads around that. God speaks to us by his Son, that same Son who on this Christmas morning looks to us like just a little baby, just a tiny infant not yet able to speak. But by that baby, God speaks volumes. His very presence here on this earth speaks volumes about God's goodness. His appearance in human flesh, born of a virgin mother, speaks volumes about God's faithfulness. And of course, God's only begotten Son speaks volumes about the truth and trustworthiness of God's revealed word. Our gracious God is speaking to us by his Son. So, let's prick up our ears and listen. What is God saying to us today? Look at this child in the manger. God's chosen writer tells us that this is God's own Son, his holy heir, his co-creator. To us, he may look humble, helpless, human. But this new named baby, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. This is what God says. Well, it may sound like deep, heady, theological language, but what God is saying is simply this. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. Jesus alone gives us a full picture when it comes to God. For by nature, we have only a partial, incomplete image of who God is and what God is like. And in fact, even that partial picture is often warped and distorted by our natural-born sinfulness. As a result, by nature, we may well come to see God as just an angry judge, a cantankerous old villain who is never satisfied no matter what we do. Mix the demands of God's just law with the guilt of our own consciences at breaking that law, and the picture that we sinners may paint of God for ourselves may well be one that is hurtful, hateful, altogether ugly. But that is not the God who created this world or placed us into it. That is not the God who surrounds us with creation's beauty and abounds to us with his endless blessings. Clearly, by nature, we do not see God well at all. Our vision is corrected, though, by Jesus. For what we see as we look into that stable, what we hear God say to that little infant wrapped in rough, rude rags, is all about love. God's love. The Holy Spirit led the Apostle John to write, "Here is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Think back a few moments to those other words we heard from John, read to us from the lectern, from the opening of John's gospel. There the Spirit led John to write, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." What is God saying to us in those words? He is telling us that his Son, Jesus, didn't just wear our human flesh like a work uniform, one to be set aside as soon as the job was done. Now, Jesus isn't God and man in the sense that he keeps his divine part here and his human part over there somewhere so that they have little to do with one another. No. God is saying that his Son became flesh. A little while ago, we confessed our faith together and said Jesus became truly human. It means Jesus is God and man, human and divine, completely and absolutely now and forever. Oh, we may discuss our Lord's divine nature and his human nature. We may distinguish the two, but we can never divide the two. They are one. Since Bethlehem, this is who Jesus is. And this is how much he loves us. Jesus did not just empathize with us or identify with us or deign to grace us with his presence for a little while. The Word became flesh. The Son of God totally committed himself, totally invested himself in you. Sinful you. Rebellious you, unlovable you, and you, and you, and you, and me. And for all that, we deserve nothing from our God but judgment. For it's true that again this year, we have separated ourselves from God by our selfishness, by our stubbornness, by our sinfulness. Judgment is what we deserve. Yet God says to us today, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. When God speaks to us through his Son, through that beautiful little bundle squirming and dozing in the manger, this is what he says, that whoever you are, whatever you have done, God's one and only Son has joined himself to you so that he might join you to himself. But when God chooses to speak, his voice is loud. And what we must strive to hear above all else this morning is the one truth that rises above all others. All that we hear today about God's Son, who he is, why he came, all of it has one aim, one objective, one gracious purpose, to provide purification for sins. all the rest of the beloved Christmas story. The angel announcements, the journey to Bethlehem, the crowded inn, the birth of the stable, the shepherds celebrating, Mary pondering, all of it might still be true, and all of it would be nothing if Jesus did not provide purification for our sins. The filthy sins that separate us from our God are real, and their wedge would only drive in deeper and deeper, dividing us from God forever, except for Jesus, except that he came as the Father said he would, to redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The wages of our sin is death. Yet Jesus came to embrace death and to overpower death for us. And that is why God could lead John to write, in him, in Jesus, is life, and the life is the light of humankind. Look again in that manger and listen. What you see there is the light that shines in the darkness. What you hear is God saying that Jesus, the Savior, does bring purification and pardon and peace for sinners. He is the light that the darkness cannot overcome. Oh, the darkness still tries. Life's devilish darkness keeps trying to get us to doubt our forgiveness, or to forget our forgiveness, or to take our forgiveness for granted. The darkness keeps trying to make us cower in fear and abandon all hope in the face of a world filled with violence and cruelty, tragedy and unspeakable horror. It keeps trying to outshout the true teaching of the gospel with the false claims of countless cults and sects and man-made religions, and yes, of no religion at all. You may know that again this year, the Association of American Atheists has mounted its Christmas campaign across the country, posting huge billboards like the one that stands not far outside our city, showing a picture of Bethlehem's manger and announcing, in your heart, you know it's just a myth. This season, celebrate reason. That is the darkness having its say. The darkness keeps trying, but the light keeps shining. The light of pardon and peace in Jesus the Savior keeps spreading across the world. The gospel is preached, forgiveness is proclaimed, people are baptized, our Lord's true body and blood is given and received, and the light scatters the darkness. This child in the manger, whose birth we celebrate this morning, this God of grace and glory in whose name we worship today, he has done this, and his grace keeps doing it, so that through this child of God we may be made children of God. So that through this Son of Man, in the arms of his earthly mother, we may be sons of God in the arms of our Heavenly Father. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God is saying today, see, I have sent my Son who hung for you on the cross, who rose for you from the tomb, who stands for you at the right hand of the majesty of heaven, and who will certainly return for you at the end of days to escort you to the place already prepared for you in paradise. Believe it. For dear ones, this is Christmas. Not trees and lights, not carols and presents, not family gatherings and tasty meals. Christmas is the Word made flesh. Christmas is God speaking to us by His Son. It is the great good news that a child is born to us. A son is given for us. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh together will see it. For the voice of the Lord has spoken it. And when God speaks, His voice is loud. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus.